Wow, what a story. Just to let you know, there are tissues at all of the communion tables around the room, and it looks like all of you need them. What a remarkable, remarkable story, and it so ties into this question that we've been asking and that we've been working through. This question that we believe is really the most important question in our lives. What am I here for? What is this whole thing about? Why is it that I exist? And a couple of weeks ago, as we began this journey, we saw how God, as he steps into our lives, he steps in and so remarkably and powerfully says, listen, I want to make sure something's really clear. I am not making this up as I go. And from the very beginning, I have had a plan, and I am executing that plan, and I will continue to execute that plan. And then even more remarkably, he says, and here's the thing that you need to understand. You're not an accident in that. There are things that before this whole thing started, I planned for you to do. He steps into our story and says, don't. No. Let me make something super clear. Don't you for a second think you're an accident. I created you on purpose for a purpose. And God is calling us into that purpose. He's calling us into what it is that he created us for. And when you read through the scriptures, the way that you're going to hear it most frequently referred to is this idea of calling. And it talks about our calling because God is calling us into this. And there are a lot of ways in life where our calling is very specific. But then there are also ways in life where our calling is something that God is inviting all of us into. There are very specific individual callings in our lives, and then there are fundamental callings that God calls all of us into. And those fundamental callings in our life are crucial to understanding the specific and individual callings in our life. And so what we've been doing is we've been walking through this and looking at, okay, how do we engage God in those fundamental callings that God has for every single one of us? It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. And I know for some of you, you walked in today and you think, well, this is for a certain group of people or people who have it all together or this or that or the other. No. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. I don't care who you are. It does not matter. And he's calling you into this. And there are fundamental callings that God has extended to every single one of us that are crucial if we're going to really experience what it is that he planned for us, that he intended for us before this whole thing started. And so we've been looking at these fundamental callings and these ways in which God is inviting you into, calling you into your purpose. The first was the call not to do something, but to receive something. And so a couple weeks ago, we looked at how God calls us to be loved. He says, I want for you to embrace my love. What I want from you before anything else is not for you to love, it's not for you to do, it's not for you to accomplish. What I want for you before anything else is that you experience my love. I want to adopt you. And he calls us to be loved. Last week, we built on that, and we looked at how he calls us to belong. He says, I want for you to embrace my family, to embrace your family. I don't want you to just be loved by me. I want you to be loved by the people around you. I want for you to be loved by your family and for you to love your family, and I want for you to experience me in this way. And as we walk through this, I want to make something really clear, especially as we work through these first two. These are fundamental. If you don't understand these, they build on one another. If we don't respond to these calls, the rest of what we talk about, it's not going to make sense. If you don't embrace God's call to be loved. You're never going to understand worship. It's always going to be works in your life. You're always going to be trying to earn his love. You're not going to know the relationship that he wants to have with you. If you don't embrace the call to belong and to be part of his family, you're never going to have confidence in what it is that God's calling you to individually, because that's confirmed and affirmed inside of community. They build on one another, and these are fundamental. If we're going to understand what God has said to us, it's mind-blowing. There were things that I planned for you to do before this whole thing started. If we're going to know that, we have to respond to these fundamental callings. And today what I want to do is I want to build on what we've been talking about, and I want to talk to you about another of these fundamental callings of God in your life and my life. As we've been working through this, we've been working through the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and God is using him to speak to this church and to speak about his plan. So in chapter 1, we saw how he's communicating. This is something that I started a long time ago, that I put in place a long time ago. Before any of this happened, I was executing this plan. And then we saw again in chapter 1 how he's talking to us about, I plan to adopt you, and I wanted for you to be loved. And then we continued, and we looked last week at how, as he continues to move through the book, he talks about what it means to be part of this family and embracing that family, the call to belong. And then this week, we want to continue in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 4 and listen to what he shares with them as he begins to move through chapter 4. It says this: Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And he's talking to them about the church. And again, he's talking about community. But as he's talking about community, he says community is not just something that God calls you into in order for you to experience love and to be loved and to love. He says, no, there's another purpose to community. Listen to what it says as it continues. It says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He says, not only did I call you to be a part of community so that you could experience your family, he says, but I called you to be a part of community because I want you to experience maturity. He continues, he says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And he phrases it this way. He says, I want for you to live your life in such a way that you're not tossed about, like that you're not just constantly going here and there and moving this direction and that direction. The way that I think we typically talk about it when I'm in conversations with people and they're describing to me their spiritual journey, one of the ways that they typically phrase it is they say, it's like I'm on a roller coaster, and sometimes I'm doing really well and sometimes I'm not, and sometimes I'm going the right direction and sometimes I'm not. And in our own lives, we've experienced this if you've been on this journey, where you're moving towards them, and then all of a sudden there are lies that come in either from outside or from inside that begin to rise up, and they begin to take you in another direction, and you feel like you're all over the place. And Paul is saying to them, he says, God doesn't want for you to experience that. God wants for you to experience this, or to move towards this, which is what he describes as immaturity and maturity. He says, then we'll no longer be immature and experience these huge toss back and forth. No, but that we'll begin to consistently experience. He said, we'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love. And then here is where he really gets down to it, what it is that God's calling us to. Listen to what he says: growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And here he shares with us the next call of God in our lives. Because not only are we called to be loved and to belong, not only are we called to embrace his love and embrace his family, but God stepped into our lives and said, I want for you to embrace growth. I want you to embrace growth. I want you to be loved. I want you to belong. I want you to become. And he calls us to embrace growth. And I know for a lot of us, when we first hear that, we think, I do that. But I want to challenge that for just a second. I want to challenge that in your life for just a second. Because I think for many of us who think that we embrace growth, our mindset needs to shift. Because we would say, okay, I've heard that, I need to grow, I've embraced growth, I need to get better, and that's really what we've embraced. We've embraced the idea that God has an expectation and we need to get better. And we say, okay, because I believe that God has an expectation and that God wants me to get better, so I've embraced growth. But I would argue that what God's calling you to embrace is something that's different than the idea that he has an expectation and you need to get better. I think that God's instead calling us to embrace the idea that God has a plan for how we're going to grow. And that's a very different thing than the idea that God has an expectation and I have to get better. God has a plan for me to grow. In order to embrace growth, and this is what's really tricky for us, very difficult for us, in order to embrace growth, we have to embrace both the idea of maturity and immaturity, and also the idea that there's a path and a process between them. The idea of growth is that there's a path or process between immaturity and maturity. It's not instant. But for most of us, we think that, no, God has an expectation and I need to live up to it. And we think it's instant. I need tomorrow. I need to be there. I need to be that. I need to do that. I need to get that right. And God says, no, I want for you to embrace growth. That's very different. It's very different. I want you to embrace the reality that I have a plan for how I want for you to grow. And I don't expect you to be there tomorrow. I think for many of us, we think we've embraced growth. But I wonder if we actually have. This past year, my staff all decided to have babies at the same time. It was awful. It was great. It was wonderful. But as you watch them interact with their children, when we interact with children, we embrace growth. So we don't come to a three-month-old and say, okay, time to walk. Let's go. You should be walking. Here's the expectation. Live up to it. You don't do that. Why? Well, they have to grow up. And we understand, no, growth takes time. Growth takes steps. Growth has phases. Some of you have gotten really frustrated about this in your life spiritually, because when you became a believer, at the beginning you grew really fast, but then it felt like it slowed down. Have you experienced that? A lot of people experience this. The same thing happens with babies. When babies are born, they grow real fast. And when you look at it in terms of multiples, they get fast, like really fast. If you kept growing at that rate, it would be really, really unhealthy. They'd make movies about you. But you understand, well, there's phases. And there are certain things you pick up really quickly, and there's times where you grow really quickly and times where, well, your muscles have to catch up to your frame. That's where my oldest son is. His muscles are trying to catch up to his frame, and it's a little awkward. But you understand, there's phases. And we have different expectations of different phases, don't we? Why? Well, because we've embraced growth. Do you engage your spiritual journey that way? Nope. Why? Because for most of us, we haven't embraced growth. We don't look at God and say, okay, God has a plan for my growth. We look at God and say, God has an expectation, and I'm supposed to meet it. Listen to me. This is far more significant in your life than you think. Even those of you who said, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to grow. There's a mindset shift that needs to take place in our lives if we're going to embrace growth. And to understand that as God steps into our lives, he says, yeah, I know where you are. And as God steps into our lives, he says, you need to embrace something. You're immature right now. You're just a baby. But I got a plan. I got a plan for you to grow. And I have a plan for where I want to take you. But the other thing that's really frustrating about this is that God's not in a hurry. You're in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. This is a problem with all human beings, but it's a big time problem with those of us who live in this area, because we have a problem with being in a hurry. We're constantly in a hurry. It doesn't matter what it is we're doing, we're constantly in a hurry. You certainly experience this, because when you leave this area, you live in constant frustration with everything around you and how slow it goes. This past summer, my friends and I went up to Canada and we walked into a McDonald's and we ordered 5 coffees, okay? Coffee, like you pull a lever, you fill a cup. How hard can it be? It wasn't like they had to brew the coffee either. It was already brewed. It took us 20 minutes to get coffee. 20 minutes. We were about to put our head through a wall. We were so angry. We talked about it for the rest of the week. And we're in a hurry, and we got someplace to go, and we got things to do. And one of the really frustrating things about this is God's like, that's not really how I do things. And God says, no, it's going to take time. It takes time to grow. When God wants to grow a mushroom, he takes 6 hours. But if he's going to grow a solid oak tree, it's going to take 60 years. Some of you want to be that tree overnight. And God says, no. It's not how it works. It takes time. And I've got a plan. But here's the problem. If you don't embrace growth, rather than embracing God's plan, you're going to keep trying to make it happen overnight. And you're going to miss out on the plan. And God's going to be doing things in your life, and you're going to get really angry and frustrated with him. And he's like, no, it's part of the plan. I'm executing. This is the plan. No, that's not the way it works. It's just going to happen. And rather than working with him to grow, we work against him. Because we haven't embraced growth. And God says, I want for you to spiritually experience what it is to grow up. And what it is that he's planning for is unbelievable. I don't know if you saw it at the end of that passage there, but listen to what he wants for us to grow into. Listen to what it says. It says, growing in every way more and more like Christ. There's another place where God's using Paul to speak to the church at Rome, and he says this. He says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called," who have been what? "Who have been called according to his purpose." He says, no, God's using everything. As we embrace God's call to our purpose, God's using everything in our lives in order to do what? What is that purpose that he's calling us to? "For those God foreknew," in other words, before this whole thing started, "he also predestined or planned to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the most amazing things about what Jesus has made possible for us is that God steps into our life and he says, "Listen, I want for you to be adopted by the Father, by my Father, and I want to be your brother." Just mind-blowing. Insane. And God says, "I want you to know something. Before this whole thing started, what I wanted for you is not just for you to know my love. It's not just for you to be part of this unbelievable family, but I wanted for you to become more and more like your brother. I wanted for you to become more and more like your brother." And I know some of you grew up in families where you heard that a lot. Right? "Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister?" And it was really frustrating because you knew your brother and he wasn't that great. You knew your sister and that she was just really good at hiding things from mom. That's not this situation. Because your brother belonged to the family. And he saw that you were outside the family. And he gave his life to bring you in. And when he says, "I want for you to be like him," he's saying, "I want for you to know the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness. I want you to know that. I want for you to bring that to the world around you. I want for you to become like him." But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to take time. But I've got a plan. And he's calling you to embrace that plan. Listen to me. God's not the one who's frustrated that you're not there. That's you. God didn't expect you to be there. Listen to me. Some of you live your entire lives and you think God expects you to know. God expects you to know it all and have it all in place and figure it all out and execute it perfectly. You think God expects me to know. And sometimes I'll talk to some of you about purpose and you have all this anxiety in your life because you're like, "I've got to get it right and I've got to figure it out and I've got to know and I'm supposed to know." No. This is what God's calling us to embrace. God does not expect you to know. God expects you to grow. He doesn't expect you to know. He expects you to grow. He doesn't expect you to jump. He expects you to take the next step. And the next step. And the next step. And the next. And the next. And the next. And he wants to lead you through that. But you have to embrace growth. That God's got a plan. God's got a plan for where he's taking me and how he wants to develop me, how he wants for me to grow. And I follow him in that. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God has a plan for my growth." Some of you are too good for it. You're like,
I'm already grown.
God has a plan for my growth. God doesn't ask you to make a plan for your growth. God has a plan for my growth. And God says, I want you to embrace it. I want you to embrace it. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we embrace God's plan for our growth? The first one has to do with something that we talk about over and over again, but we can never talk about it too much. And that is just our time with him. Our consistent time with him. The second one is our time reading his word. And sometimes those two can happen at the same time, but they're not the same thing. Both are very important, and sometimes they can happen at the same time, but they're not the same thing. Some of you spend time in God's word, but you don't spend time with God. Because you're just doing something to check it off a list. You're just doing something because you feel you have to do it. And I'm not saying that. Sometimes people say, you know, I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't spend time today because I just didn't feel like I had the right attitude. No, you should still do it. That's like me saying, well, you know, I didn't hang out with my wife today because I just didn't have the right attitude. My marriage would be over real quick. Real quick. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this. Sometimes our time in God's word can just be something that we just do to check it off, or we do it to appease him, or we do it to try to earn his love as opposed to just experiencing him. And one of the things that God's called us to is to experience him. Why? Because part of his plan for your growth is him rubbing off on you. And if you're going to become like him, you have to know what he's like. And as you spend time with him, it's amazing. The scriptures say when you step into a relationship with Jesus that he gives you his spirit. And what he wants to do in that time is he wants for you to be able to experience his spirit in your life, to experience that love, to experience his presence in your life. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, he doesn't come to his disciples and say, okay, this is what you got to do. This, 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 and this. And then you're going to be ready for what I have in store for you. It's not what he does. What does he do? He says, come hang out with me. Come hang out with me. Why? Because you hang out with someone long enough, all of a sudden it starts to impact you, doesn't it? You ever met somebody and you talk to them and they talk just like their parents? Some of you woke up one day and realized it was true about you. Tried to change it and you couldn't. My cousin, if my cousin answers the phone, I have no idea if it's him or his dad. No idea. Same voice, same tone, same inflection. It's unbelievable. It wasn't because one day my cousin's like, you know what, I'm going to talk like my dad. And he started working at it. That's not how it happened. How did it happen? They were around each other a lot. They're really close. That's what God wants to happen in your life. And so he says, you gotta come spend time with me. And a big part of it too is just awakening to the reality that he's always with you. You got to spend time with him. The second side of that is our time in God's word, because you need to learn. You need to learn, okay, what is it that God's said? Because there are certain things in this plan where God has specifically been very clear about, okay, I want for you to do this. I want for you to start practicing this. I want you to stop practicing this. Listen to how he says it a little bit further in the book of Ephesians. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And he's talking to them about the fact that, no, as you're on this journey, part of God's plan as well is that as you're reading God's word and you see what God said, that there are going to be things that you realize I got to get rid of in my life, and there are things that I need to begin to practice in my life. And as you're reading through God's word, he's going to be able to speak those things into your life. And you have to learn, okay, what is it that God's been really clear about? And then how do I practice those things? This is another thing that's really interesting when it comes to our growth and development and God's purpose, because people say to me, I don't know what God's purpose is. I don't know. My first thing that I tell people is, do what you know. Do what you know. And part of what we do is we come to God's word on a consistent basis that we're learning, okay, I'm going to practice that. I'm going to practice that. I'm going to live that out. We spend time with him. We spend time in his word. And then we embrace life with God. What I mean by that is this. God is redeeming everything in your life. God is redeeming everything in your life. When you look at that passage in Romans chapter 8, what he's saying is this. I'm redeeming everything for your good, and I'm redeeming everything as part of this plan. As a part of your growth plan, I'm redeeming everything. Now, I know this is a word that we don't use a lot. It literally means to buy back. So whatever it was intended for, it doesn't matter because I've bought it back, and I'm going to use it as part of this plan, as part of this growth plan in your life. And whether it was meant for good or whether it was meant for evil, I'm going to use it as part of this. For you to become more and more like your brother, for you to know love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness. He says, I'm using every single thing. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, a high or a low. I'm using every piece of it. And what I love about that story that we watched before I walked on stage here, what I love about that story is that you, as you listen to that story, you hear them telling this story. And what they're saying is, look at how God has redeemed this. And I love how Jason says it at the end of it, because as you come to the end of it, he says, even if the story had ended differently, we realized that we knew God in a way we didn't know him before. We experienced God in a way that we hadn't experienced him before. We understood what it was to be like him in a way that we hadn't before. And they saw how God had redeemed this in their life and was using it for them to grow. And the thing I love about the story is not what has happened, but what I know is going to happen. Because here's the thing. God has stepped into our lives and has adopted us as his kids. I don't know what it's like to be a parent who adopts a child. I don't know that. They do. They're going to know and understand something about God that I can't. They're going to take a step of growth in that I can't. Because of how God is going to use this. When my second son was born with Down syndrome, was the hardest thing that's ever happened to me. But there's so much of what I understand about who God is. And there's so much that God shaped in me and in my family because of how he's redeemed that. And God has said to every single one of us, I promise you, I'm doing that in your life. And it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I'm going to use it as part of the plan for where I'm taking you. And what I plan for you to do and to be before this whole thing started. I promise you. But we have to embrace life with God. To walk through it and encounter those circumstances. And I'm not telling you the circumstances get any easier. If you were to ask them about that story, they're not going to say, yeah, I really hope that would happen. No. If you ask me about my son, I'm not going to say, yeah, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. No, wouldn't say that. But I know that I can walk into every circumstance and know, not if God's working, but know that God is working. And to ask him, okay, how? How are you going to use this? How are you going to redeem this? For me to be more like my brother. And for me to be able to bring to the world, for them to be able to bring to the world what their brother brought to the world. But that also means that we have to change the dream. We have to embrace a different dream if we're going to embrace growth. Because the dream has to become to be like him, which is far greater than anything else that we could dream for. But we have to embrace it. And to say, okay, God, what's the plan? I'm going to follow you in your plan. Listen. God doesn't expect you to execute the plan. God's executing the plan. He expects you to follow him in it and to embrace it with him. Some of us today have to make a massive shift in the way that we think about God. And to realize that God is calling you not to make it happen. God is calling you to embrace growth. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so amazed at the way that you do this. And how as you step into our lives, because you so value relationship, you call us to walk through this with you. I pray that today we'd be able to give up our old idea that you just come to us with an expectation of what we're supposed to live up to, but that we would see the truth of what it is that you actually call us to, that we would embrace. Embrace the reality. Embrace your call to growth. In Jesus' name, amen.